Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. Amen, and happy Father's Day to all the dads here today. And I am, one of my greatest privileges is being a father. I have four boys of my own, and you've seen them running around here for the last 5 years, and they're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's amazing, you know, as a new dad, you know, golly, my oldest will turn 14 in just a few weeks, which is crazy to think about. Yeah, wow is right. And you know, you hear as a young parent, like, oh, it goes by really fast. It goes by really fast. And like, you kind of be, oh, okay, old man, you hear someone tell you that. And now here am I, not an old man yet. I wouldn't consider myself an old man yet, Dan. But I feel like it sometimes with how big the kids are getting and just the changes of life. It's really something special. And I love being a dad. And for all the dads here today, we have a special gift for you after service. And we can't wait to give that to you. And so thanks for being here. And the message today is going to go right along with this Father's Day heart. It's amazing. I saw something on social media yesterday. It was a survey done, and it was talking about holidays throughout the year and in regards to church attendance. And it had Easter number one, like everybody goes to church on Easter. Right underneath that, what do you think it was? Christmas was right underneath that. And then underneath that was Mother's Day. Moms are like, come to church with me. You know, out of all, I think there was 10 or 11 holidays mentioned. The lowest one, Father's Day, was the lowest attended service. And now, praise God, we got a great crowd today here. But you wonder what's wrong with society today when really it all oftentimes goes back to the father. It goes back to the father. So dads, man, we got our work cut out for us, but God gives enough grace for it. And today I'm going to try to encourage you with this message for Father's Day. And for those who are not dads, whether you're, you may be a mother today. So this is not Mother's Day, it's Father's Day. But I promise the message will help you as well. I may be talking about how to be a good dad, but there's going to be some more in it. So I know all of us will be helped today and blessed. And so thank you for being in God's house today on this Father's Day. Before I jump into the sermon, I have a sermon illustration to show you via video. So we're going to watch. That's a few minutes long. So I'm make sure the volume's up loud. I'll probably get the remotes back there and make sure you can hear it. And so Donald, you can play that video now. Happy Father's Day. Pastor Donald here. Have a sermon illustration that the Lord put in my heart this week and I want to show you. And as a dad, I'm proud of my boys, but I'm also proud of this baby right here. Oh, this beautiful truck. I've had this truck for a few years now, and I wanna show you it right now. Let's get this mirror out first. Oof, ouch, that sounded bad. I have, since day one, affectionately called this truck Betsy. Don't know why. I think we even have a Betsy in church now, so has nothing to do with her. But I've been calling this truck Betsy from day one. And got her on the side of the road in West Yarmouth. And let's look at her. These initials have been here since day one. I guess I could have named it something starting with a P or a J or a C. Don't know what that stands for, but that's been there. Haven't got that off. These buttons don't work, I don't think. Maybe they do. I actually never tried. I don't know the code. Right over here with this little bit of paint stuff here, Drake was living with us. You know Drake. He's in the military. And he came in the house and said, hey, I bumped into your truck. I'm like, by yourself? He's like, no, with my truck. I'm like, oh, so you hit my truck. He said, no, I bumped it. I said, that's the same thing, but that's okay. What else we got over here? All righty. You got some marks here and there. Ooh, I don't know. I scratched myself on that. Got the old rusty bumper. That has been rusty since I got it. That's all right. Missing a few screws down there. My exhaust system is top notch. It's so nice. It's literally invisible. See? Yeah, a muffler fell off. I carried it up 134 six months ago or so after the exhaust pipe fell off. But, hey, you know what? I wouldn't use this if I were you. All right, what else we got here? It's coming off, but that's all right. Oh, yeah. Well, that won't come off, actually. This comes off. This was actually, I think that's white paint. I think it's when we were remodeling the church. I think it gives it some character. Beautiful. Oh, my. These aren't coming off either. That is from this road, all these branches sticking off the side. Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's okay, though. A couple more up here as well. Oh, yeah. Front end, got some scraping here. So, yeah, that's Betsy. I love it. You know, this sticker's about 7 years old. Still works, though. Kidding. And that's it. But for as bad as she looks, and she's messy on the inside, too. Some of these coffees, I wouldn't drink that if I were you. It might be solid now. But look at this. Woof, a little rough, but it started up. Gets me where I need to go. Oop. And it does what I need it to do. In the back, right now, there's a power washer I picked up from my brother-in-law's house. All those chairs, a lot of this stuff, this truck has moved. A lot of the stuff in the church right now that's been built, all the construction materials, old Betsy brought it to church. So, as bad as she may look, okay, as rough as she may start, as bent and broken and imperfect that this old 2006 F-150, as rough as it is, it gets the job done. And that's the message today that we're going to talk about is, dads, you don't got to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to have a lot of flaws and struggles and issues and a lot of weak spots. But we all do. You just got to get the job done. And dads, maybe you do feel like that old beat up. I think it's actually an 04. Now that I think about it, it's old, man. It's old. And I forgot to mention the fact, Justin's worked on that truck with me. And he is the savior of that truck. That thing wouldn't be moving had it not been for Justin. But we don't want to be underneath that truck too long. There's so much rust there, it might just collapse on top of you. But you may feel like that truck. Imperfect. A little dinged up, worn out. You don't always have the answers. Okay, I know more often than not, that's how I feel. But fatherhood is not about perfection. Okay, fatherhood is not about perfection. It's about presence. Okay, not presence like I'm giving you a gift. I'm talking about being there. It's about showing up. It's about starting up. It's about getting the job done. And that's why for dads today, the title of the message, and really it can apply in other areas, but for dads today, the title of the message is, it ain't got to be pretty, it's just got to work. Right? It ain't got to be pretty, it's just got to work. This message is for every father who ever felt like he wasn't good enough. I'm not just a dad, but I have another label, I guess you could say. I'm a special needs dad. I have a son with severe nonverbal autism. And I'll tell you, so much over the last 12 years as I've raised my sweet, precious son, Seth, I have felt like I just don't have what it takes. It's tough. So this message is for any dad who's ever felt like he wasn't good enough, feeling like that flawed and imperfect, but your value isn't in your shine and how much polish you have, but it's in your service. It's in what you accomplish. You still matter. You don't have to be a polished showpiece. Sometimes I'll be in my truck driving down the road, and I'll get to two lanes, and I'll look to my left, and there's a brand spanking new 2025 F-150 shiny, beautiful tinted windows, and I'm like, that's a nice truck, man. As mine is like, just, and I'm like, hey, look at this baby, this one's still going. I found a little tiny little figurine of Alf. Remember Alf the show? I was not alive when it was around, but my parents watched it, made us watch it. And I took a super glue and I glued Alf to my dashboard. So he stares at me. So I got Alf on my dashboard. It's got mess everywhere, but it works. And sometimes I look and I'm like, man, I that truck looks great. And maybe you look at other dads and you're like, man, I don't measure up like that guy does. Man, I'm not the kind of dad that his kids adore him or his kids this. And you're like, I can't provide like I want to. I can't do the things I need. Listen, we got to stop the comparison game, first of all. It's not about looking great and looking all polished and perfect, because none of us are that, dads. It's about being there. You have to be faithful. And the greatest model of a father that we can look to is the one that we have sung about all morning long, and that is our Heavenly Father. So quickly this morning, we're going to look at three qualities of God our Father and dads, how we can apply that in our lives. And I promise, I want to be brief this morning. I know that Father's Day is a busy day, and just like Mother's Day and other holidays, so I'm proud of you for being in the house of God this morning, but I know you may have plans. And I know I got plans too, so I love spending time with our family. So, but I'm proud of you for being here in God's house this morning. Number one is this: God, our Father, is present. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." God doesn't just love us from a distance. God walks with us. He is present. Our Father God is present. When we fall, He is there with us. When we fail, He is there, right there with us. When we fear, He is right there with us. What did the angel say that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was God when He was born in a manger, what was His name going to be? It was going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Fathers, your presence matters. Your presence matters. Look at the state of society today. Okay, look at what's going on in our country today. I'm not saying that if every dad did what he's supposed to, that none of this would be happening, because evil still reigns, even when fathers do a great job. But I'll say this much: if dads were just there and involved and leaning on the Lord and leading their children right for Jesus Christ, I know that the state of our country would be in a different spot. Fathers, your presence matters. It's important. Not just being in the room, because there's a lot of dads that are physically present, but emotionally, they're very far. Maybe that's the home that you grew up in. And I love what Brother Fran said this morning. Maybe Father's Day is not a very good day for you. Maybe it's a very difficult day for you because your father was not around, or you were abandoned, or whatever. Fill in the blank. Your story is a sad one. Your Father God has never left your side. You may not have, your earthly father may have failed you, but God, your Father, is a present God who has always been there with you. He's always been there with you. So dads, it's not just about being in the room. It's about being engaged. It's about being involved. It's about being, and I love this word when it comes to the Christian life, it's about being intentional. Intentional. Being there. We're at the games. We're at we're there and involved in the birth. We're not just letting mom plan everything. No, we're involved for everything. For their football. I had the privilege to coach my son Charlie in soccer this season. It was great to be there. So I understand we live busy lives. We live busy lives. But we got to be there. The games, the birthdays, the heartbreaks, the questions. We have to be there. We have to be there. We got to put, my goodness, you know what we got to do? We got to put down the phone, don't we? These things, and I'm guilty of it too, they're addictive. They just are. And this goes for moms and dads, I guess, but as father, I'm talking to dads. We got to put down the phone and get intentional about being present with our children. We got to ask questions. We got to sit close. The time is ticking. The time is going by. They're growing. They're getting older. And one day they'll walk out of our house. And what have we left? What legacy have we left? What lessons have we taught? How do they view us? As a dad who was there and he was by my side for the good, the bad, the ugly? Or was he in the house? And yeah, he was a good dad, but we didn't really have a lot of serious conversation. Listen, God is present. And we must be too. Your consistency matters more than your capability. Your consistency matters more than your capability. You being present and being intentional about being there for your children is more important than all the things you can or can't do. Your consistency matters more than your capability. They don't need a superhero. They just need you. Oh, and I've been to tell myself that so much. Because I want to be that perfect dad. I got four chasing around. Some of you got, Joel, you got four. It's tough, man. And I just want to be everything. And sometimes I got to slow down and just be. They just need me. They just need me. God is present. God is present. And God also, number two, is patient. God is patient. Aren't you glad that God is patient? Woo! Hallelujah for that. God is patient and I am not. Psalm 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is long-suffering to usward. God is a patient God. God does not explode when we get it wrong. God does not lash out irrationally when we make a mistake. He doesn't hold grudges. Yes, he corrects. He's a father that chasteneth his children out of love, but he doesn't explode and lose his cool and blow his top. He corrects, but he does it with calmness, with kindness, and with grace. God is patience. He's been patient with me. He's been patient with you. Think about all the times we've walked away from him. Think about all the times we've deliberately disobeyed what he's asked us to do, what we're commanded to do in scriptures, and we go against it. And yet God, our Father, is present and he's patient with us. And he welcomes us home, just like the father waiting for the prodigal son to return. He runs to us. God is a patient God. Even when we mess up. Even when we go directly against what we know we're supposed to do, what he's asked us to do, and we make our own bed, and yet God is patient. There's no I told you so's. It's grace. And as dads, oftentimes our flesh, our human nature thinks that patience is weakness, and it's not. Patience is strength under control. We must, as dads, be patient with our children. We must show grace and patience with my boys. God is patient. Let's get specific. Your tone, your timing, your tenderness. All of those things matter when we're dealing with our kids. Our tone. How we respond in those moments. Listen, fathers, and this is advice for me too. When you're frustrated, when your kids are being disobedient, when they've gone against you, before you react, stop and pray. And ask God for strength and grace and patience. Before you just, well, I'm just going to tell them what they need to hear. How much has that worked out? Well, I'm just going to, they need to know. Well, sure. Stop and pray. And can I say, these qualities of God our Father apply to every one of us in all of our relationships. So just as a sidebar for all those who say, well, I'm not a dad, I can just, you know, check on my work on my phone right now or hang out, whatever. Listen, your coworker that bothers you, you can practice some patience with them. Okay, your mom or dad who's in their senior years and they're irritating you with decisions that they're making, hey, you can practice some patience with them. By the way, if my dad's listening, I'm not talking about you, Dad, all right? You're not a senior yet. God is patient, and we must practice patience as well. And we need the grace of God to flow through us to have patience. Because in our own strength and flesh, we will not be patient. I'll lose my cool. You ask my boys, how many times has your dad had to apologize to you after lashing out? And they'll probably be like, oh yeah, we lost count. Because oftentimes you get annoyed. Hey, and then I'm like, the Spirit of God's like, hey, chill out, man. How many times have I been patient with you every time? And I'll say, boys, Dad, sorry for I could have been a lot more patient in my response there. Listen, and I'll say, I won't ignore the wrongdoing. I'll say, listen, I did need to talk to you, and we do need to deal with it, but I could have responded differently to that. I could have started that conversation off a lot better than I did, so I'm sorry for that. And they're always so gracious to me. They're patient with me. Your tone, your timing, your tenderness, all those things, how you respond to when they do mess up, it shapes your child's trust. Want to hear something kind of intimidating? The way I am with my boys and the way I treat and love my boys and forgive my boys and train and raise them up and respond to their wrongdoing, the way I am paints a picture of God the Father in their eyes. That's scary sometimes. Because you know what the enemy will do in their little minds, in their young minds? If I just lose my cool and get impatient and this and that, no mercy, no, you know the rules, you should have listened. It paints a picture of God the Father in their mind. The enemy will say, listen, that's how God is. He's a pastor, listen. And the enemy will lie to our children, which is why we must be patient and speak the truth of God in their hearts. I'm telling you, dads, we can do it. We have what it takes. We're giving out a devotional this morning for all the dads, and it's literally called, You've Got What It Takes. You've got what it takes by the grace of God. God is patient. You are shaping your child's trust with how you respond to them. Remember that. When you're frustrated, yes, stop and pray. See mistakes as teaching moments, not just infractions and things we have to deal with. No, use them as moments to teach. Yes, I understand sometimes you got to get a little firm. I know that. I'm not saying, we need to be gentle parents 100% and never. Listen, I've had to raise my voice sometimes properly, but I don't make a habit of it so it just becomes nothing to them. No, I'm a dad. I'm trying to do the best I can. Sometimes they need to know I'm serious and there is some firmness. But I want to use every time as a teaching moment. Am I just going to slap down punishment and send them packing? No, I want to take the time to help them understand maybe why I'm upset at what they did. Maybe how their decision, they don't realize how it affects them in the moment. I do. That's probably what makes us upset as dads. But using that time to teach. So, well, that didn't happen to me. Well, start with yours. Start with your children. Remember how patient God has been with you. The goal for our children, the goal for you, for your children is not perfect behavior. It's a tender heart that trusts you. That's the goal. Oftentimes we get it skewed for whatever reason. Maybe it's our own pride. Maybe it's embarrassment, but we want our kids to behave. I can tell you, we spent a year traveling the country 6 years ago before we moved here. We were getting support for Coastline and we were traveling the country. We were in a different church every Sunday when my boys were 6 years younger. And you know what? In my own pride and my own stupidity, oftentimes I wanted my kids to be on their best behavior. We were going to a church to try to raise money so we could come to the... So they needed to be on their best behavior. And I sometimes was too harsh with them. And all I cared about was us looking the perfect image of a family. God help me and God forgive me for that. Because the goal is not perfect behavior. It's not little clones, little robots that do exactly what I say when I say it. No, the goal should be that your child trusts you, that your child has a tender heart that knows that they're loved, that knows that they're accepted, that knows that they're cared for, and that trusts you enough to talk to you when they're struggling. That's the goal. That's the goal. God is patient. And lastly, God is loving. God is loving. Simple message today. Simple message. God is loving. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Romans 8. 38 and 39, a long list, nothing in heaven or hell or things of earth, or things to come, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Aren't you glad that God's love for us is not based on our performance? But God's love is unwavering. God's love for you is unconditional. God's love for you is unchanging. He doesn't love us more when we succeed or love us less when we fail. God is loving and His love never fails. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Talk about Father's Day. He gave His only Son because of His love for you and for me. God's love never changes. God's love changes lives. And fathers, your children need that kind of love. Not a love that is earned, but a love that is freely given and unconditional, that is constant. Brother Fran talked of one time he heard, "I love you," from his father at that point in his life, and his brother had never. Man, Dad, we need to change the narrative, don't we? I had a wonderful father that did tell me he loved me. My dad would be the first to admit that he's not a very emotional person. I get it all from my mom because I'm an emotional guy. But I try to make a point to tell my boys, I love them. I love you, boys. And I joke with them. We have so much fun together, laughing and messing around. But I want them to know that they're loved. And I especially want them to know that they're loved when maybe there's some friction. When maybe we are dealing with something. All my boys, I hope, would know that their dad loves them. That I want to help them grow as the young men that they are. I want to teach them. I want to validate their feelings often. Sometimes it's like, hey, I know you feel that way and I understand that. But let's work through those things, because the truth is you really shouldn't feel that way about this. Let me explain. And we're working together, helping them grow as their minds are growing. My kids, my boys don't know everything. I don't subscribe to the mindset that whatever my kids think is what's right. No. They're children. We work with them. We love them. We help them. We guide them. That's our job. They are little people. We're helping them grow. We're not better than them. But I'll say this, in some ways we're smarter than them. And you have to believe that and understand that you are an adult. We're raising our children. But it's rooted in love. It's rooted in love. We love them like God loves us, with grace, with security, with no expiration date. The love is constant. God is loving. And let the love of God that has flowed to you flow out from you to your children, dads. God is loving. And the love that you give today, the love that you give them today will echo in their hearts forever. It will. It will. I read this every year, and it goes right along with the sermon today. It's an old literary piece by W. Livingston Larned, and it's called Father Forgets. And it goes right along with being patient and being loving and being present. So I'll read it, and then we'll have an invitation. And dads, I want you to listen to this. It's called Father Forgets. It's a father writing to his little son, and it says this: "Listen, listen, son. I am saying this as you lie asleep, one little paw crumpled under your cheek, and the blonde curls stickily wet on your damp forehead. I have stolen into your room alone. Just a few minutes ago, as I sat reading my paper in the library, a stifling wave of remorse swept over me. Guiltily, I came to your bedside. These are the things I was thinking, son. I had been cross to you. I scolded you as you were dressing for school because you gave your face merely a dab with a towel. I took you to task for not cleaning your shoes. I called out angrily when you threw some of your things in the floor. At breakfast, I found fault too. You spilled things. You gulped down your food. You put your elbows on the table. You spread butter too thick on your bread. And as you started off to play and I made for my train, you turned and waved a hand and called, 'Goodbye, Daddy.' And I frowned and I said in reply, 'Hold your shoulders back.' Then it began all over again in the late afternoon. As I came up the road, I spied you down on your knees playing marbles. There were holes in your stockings. I humiliated you before your friends by marching you ahead of me to the house. Stockings were expensive, and if you had to buy them, you would be more careful. Imagine that, son, from a father. Do you remember later when I was reading in the library, how you came in timidly with a sort of hurt look in your eyes when I glanced up over my paper, impatient at the interruption? You hesitated at the door. 'What is it you want?' I snapped. You said nothing, but ran across in one tempestuous plunge and threw your arms around my neck and kissed me, and your small arms tightened with an affection that God had set blooming in your heart and which even neglect could not wither. And then you were gone, pattering up the stairs. Well, son, it was shortly afterwards that my paper slipped from my hands and a terrible, sickening fear came over me. What has habit been doing to me? The habit of finding fault, of reprimanding. This was my reward to you for being a boy. It was not that I did not love you. It was that I expected too much of youth. I was measuring you by the yardstick of my own years. And there was so much that was good and fine and true in your character. The little heart of you was as big as the dawn itself over the wide hills. This was shown by your spontaneous impulse to rush in and kiss me goodnight. Nothing else matters tonight, son. I have come to your bedside in the darkness, and I have knelt there ashamed. It is a feeble atonement. I know you would not understand these things if I told them to you during your waking hours, but tomorrow I will be a real daddy. I will chum with you and suffer when you suffer and laugh when you laugh. I will bite my tongue when impatient words come. I will keep saying as if it were a ritual, 'He is nothing but a boy, a little boy.' I'm afraid I have visualized you as a man. Yet as I see you now, son, crumpled and weary in your cot, I see that you were still a baby. Yesterday you were in your mother's arms, your head on her shoulder. I have asked too much, too much. Fathers, don't forget what matters most. Don't forget what matters most. Don't forget the shortness of time. Don't forget to love like God loves. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be polished. You don't have to have it all together. You just have to be present and patient and loving like our Father in heaven. That old truck in the video at the beginning of this message, it might be beat up, but it still runs. It still runs. It still starts. I still use it all week long. It accomplished things that I needed it to accomplish. Yes, it's a mess. Yes, it's busted up. But it still runs. And if you keep showing up, guys, dads, if you keep showing up with love, with faithfulness, with mercy, with patience, even with your flaws, you'll get the job done. You'll get the job done. You'll lead your family well, and your Father in heaven will be pleased. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.